Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith
Show. Come on now! Shake that thing!
Covered by Krug, and a shot, he scores! Bradley, a shot, he scores! He scores! He scores! He scores! He scores! He scores!
Dale Arnold.
Bergeron. I said he's MVP of the league.
Rich Keith.
Sing along with me!
Dale and Keith.
Dale, you're like an icon in this city, and I just want to say thank you.
Also, at one point he was referred to as the Godfather. Icon, is there one that you prefer, Dale?
Night King.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Game four tonight, game five Thursday, series over Thursday night.
What day is the parade?
Saturday.
Nice. People will be fired up. What's the weather on Saturday? We got a weather update, Shine. We got the 7-day forecast we can take a look at. Saturday, planning the parade. I'm still shocked this wasn't a sweep, but I guess you just, you know, you want to be nice to St. Louis. They'd never won a Stanley Cup game before, Dale. So you give them game two.
A Stanley Cup final game,
They'd never
won
a Stanley Cup final game. So you give them game two. Bruins show up there, get a touchdown against them on Saturday night. Things look pretty good for the Bruins on Saturday. Everything was coming up bees. That's more what I expected in the series.
So it's kind of amusing to those of us who have, you know, been watching this series, you know, very closely the entire way. The St. Louis Blues do not have the same caliber of talent as the Bruins have, and that's fairly obvious to everybody.
Right.
Going into it, you knew it, and as the series has gone on, you know it. There really is only one way they can win the series, and they're trying like hell to do it, which is play dirty.
Right.
They are a dirty hockey team. San Jose talked about this in the last series, talked about the number of players that they felt, and we showed some footage on this on the Nesson pregame show for the game on Saturday. They're trying to take people out.
Yeah. And
it's the only chance they have.
Well, it's funny because San Jose warned everybody about this, right? San Jose was saying that St. Louis is trying to take players out, and they had a bunch of guys get hurt, and you were saying, well, you know, whatever, maybe toughen up. You know, and what you have to do is you have to capitalize on that because you're going to get power play chances. They've gotten a bunch in the first three games, and game three obviously was comical how effective they were on the power play. But there's teams being physical. There's even sort of gamesmanship where you sort of toe that line, maybe you cross that line a little bit. You know, we've seen, like, Brad Marchand will do that. You sort of cross that line a little bit. You make the ref kind of, all right, is that after the whistle? Is that kind of a cross check? Is that a slash?
And Marchand's stuff, while pain in the ass kind of stuff,
it's not going to hurt you normally.
Yeah, it's not going to put you out.
Right, he took the slew foot stuff out of his game for a while ago.
That stuff, the low bridge against Vancouver, that was years ago.
But some of the other stuff is just sort of, you know, it bothers you. This stuff with St. Louis, though, is different. And I think we can talk about it. We can almost complain about it because they have a 2-1 lead and it looks like they're going to win the series. So you're not saying, oh, they're hurting our players and that's how they're going to win. They're not going to win. But
it's the only chance they have.
But so then I go to, you know how everybody loves the handshake at the end of the thing? They're like, oh, look at these guys.
Oh, they'll do it. Don't worry, they'll do it.
But how can you possibly look these guys in the eye and respect them if they're trying to hurt you? Like, that's such a different thing. Like, there's physical series where guys have big clean hits, like the Torrey Krug kick on Rob Thomas, clean hit. And if you had a bunch of those on both sides, you can respect it. And you can say, all right, fine. But if you're headhunting the whole time, I don't know how at the end of the series you say, hey, good, that was a hard-fought series. No. They're trying to take you out. Pastrnak almost got killed if he didn't move his head on the other night. Backes is taking shots to the head one after another. Every time they go into the boards, St. Louis is going high. I don't know how you can even respect that. This should be a no-handshake series. When they're done, when they win in Game 5, well, they should spit on them and skate
all
off.
Would be no-handshake series in Rich Keefe's world.
But specifically now. No, you're right. You're not wrong about that, Dale. But in this one, how do you put that behind you? If a team is trying to hurt you, how can you also have respect for them? You just forget about it because you won? Like, no, these guys are going above and beyond. And the Bruins are actually fortunate that they haven't lost players.
Well, they've lost the one.
Well, right. And haven't lost more players.
I don't think, if this series went seven games, I don't think you'd see Matt Grzelcyk. No inside info. Right. It's just my guess.
You're right.
The way these concussion things happen and the protocol and the series of steps that he would have to go through to even be allowed to skate, you know, go out and practice with his team. Forget about playing in a Stanley Cup playoff game. Look, and the amusing thing to me from that perspective is Craig Berube yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Is complaining about the officiating.
Complaining about calls. And just going back to the previous series. Well, like, we were one of the least penalized teams coming into this one. You're like, okay, well, now you guys are playing so undisciplined.
Well, because there's such a discrepancy
in
the speed and skill factor, they don't have any choice. They have to do what they're doing. But this was Craig Berube yesterday with the media.
First of all, we're the least penalized team in the league in the first three rounds, and now all of a sudden we've taken 14 penalties in one series. So, I don't know. I don't buy into all that, to be honest with you. I think that we can definitely be more composed after the whistle. I think we've let, you know, some frustration get in there where we're maybe do too much after the whistle. So we'll clean that up for sure. But like I said, we're the least penalized team in the league coming into this series. So
what?
You know, I don't agree with all the calls.
Well, first of all, Craig, you're wrong.
Yeah.
The Bruins are the least penalized team in the playoffs, have been from the beginning of series one until, you know, now game four in the final.
Story.
I understand. Yeah. They are the least penalized team in the league. St. Louis has been shorthanded 14 times in the three games so far. The Bruins have been shorthanded 10 times in the three games so far. And anybody who's watched
on
this.
Saturday, right? Didn't St. Louis have five power plays on Saturday?
And the Bruins had four.
Come on.
We'll talk about what they did with those four in a minute.
Yeah.
But the bottom line here is, yes, you're getting penalties. There are those who've been watching this who say it should be more.
Oscar
Sundquist should have had a 5-minute major for the hit against Grzelcyk.
Correct.
He got a 2-minute minor.
And they're running Tuca at every given chance. They're trying to get
it again
going
on Saturday.
Tuca. And now some of those have been called, obviously. But if they're going to call it kind of cheap in a way, and I think throughout the playoffs they kind of had, like, there's a lot of roughing penalties that you say, really, this is the playoffs? Like, let it go.
Well, the Patrick Maroon Zdeno Chara dust up Saturday night,
what was that?
I mean,
come on,
you know, that's just hard-nosed hockey.
But
here's an idea: if you're going to call matching minors, don't call anything.
Yeah, that's what I would say. But so I think the refs, and there's been plenty of issues with the refs, but most of the issues have been the replay stuff, what's reviewable, what's not reviewable, and all of that. As far as, you know, what's a penalty, it seems like the days of, hey, it's playoff hockey, we're going to let stuff go, that is gone. So they are going to kind of call it close. And so all these guys have played 20-plus playoff games to this point, so how do you not know that they're going to call that a slashing? They're going to call that interference. They're going to call that roughing. And so the Blues have been committing penalties, and they definitely could be called for more. They haven't, and then they also haven't made, you know, the most out of their opportunities either. But, yeah, that was pretty
comical.
Well,
the Brayden Schenn attempt to take the head off of David Pastrnak the other night.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's how they're playing. And I don't know how, if you're the Bruins, you can respect that. I don't know how, at the end. Listen, there's big hits. There should be big hits. Everybody loves the big hits. I love the big hits. But more often than not, they're just targeting the head or they're doing something completely dirty.
When we got together on Friday and talked about, and at that point, the series was tied 1-1, and we were talking about what the Bruins have to do is make the Blues pay for their lack of discipline.
Yeah.
You know, make them, they take a run at Tuukka Rask, take a minor penalty, score on the power play. Oscar Sundquist takes out Matt Grzelcyk, score on the power play, and they weren't doing that. Saturday night, that was taken care of.
Yes.
They had four power play tries. They scored four power play goals. They had four shots on goal. Total.
4 for 4. Like, literally 4 for 4. I mean, that was unbelievable. And you kind of had a feeling that was going to break out. They had one of the best power plays in the regular season. They had the best power play in the postseason going into the series. And St. Louis had done a pretty good job. What were they? 2 for 10, I believe, going in the first two games. And so, again, you know, 20%, not the end of the world, but for what we had expected from them, that was not nearly as good. And here they come, 4 for 4. And then they get Binnington out of the game. First time he's ever been pulled as a starter. So they're clearly in his head. They beat him, and now they made St. Louis make a change there. So everything was coming up Bruins on Saturday.
How many guesses would you need if I asked you, right now, who's got the record for most points in a Stanley Cup final game in Boston Bruins history before Saturday night? How many guesses would you need before you got to Torrey Krug's
name? I would
need
a lot of guesses. Yeah, it would be. I would name a lot of other guys. So he was fantastic. We have a goal, 3 assists in the game on Saturday.
No one in Bruins history, not Bobby Orr, not Phil Esposito, not Cam Neely. No one has ever had 4 points in a Stanley Cup final game before Krug did.
He is really putting it together. And I think he's now up to, is it like 16 points for the playoffs or something like that? He's obviously been very effective. The big hit is still one of the signature moments of the entire postseason run where he went and took Rob Thomas out. Clean hit, by the way, but that was one of the signature moments. And then he was just so dialed in on the power play in game 3. That was just fun to watch.
And it's the interesting dilemma here you're going to have if you're the Bruins is you knew you've got some guys you've got to worry about from a contract point of view coming up. Charlie McAvoy, Brandon Carlo. All of a sudden now you've sort of added into the mix here Torrey Krug. You know, he's got a year left under his deal.
Mm-hmm.
But is this something that you feel you're going to have to address early? Because, man, he is playing himself into a huge payday here.
But if you had to pick, if you had to rank those guys, who you'd rather lock up, wouldn't he still be third? I mean, I know he's
no, he'd be second for me.
See, I would want Carlo over him. I think especially the combination, and I know that they don't play together, but I'm just saying the combination on your team of Carlo and McAvoy, because you're still going to need, even though the game is more offensive, I still really like the idea of a dominant, you know, shutdown defensive defenseman. I think that's what you're going to get.
I love Carlo. Yeah. I just think that Krug brings something to the table that you lack and the teams in the NHL lack, mm-hmm. which is an offensive force from back on the blue line. You know what Brent Burns brings to the San Jose Sharks,
oh, sure.
what Erik Karlsson brings probably for Tampa Bay next year, whoever he's playing for.
Yeah.
Krug brings that to you. And as you pointed out, he's now got 16 points in 20 playoff games.
Oh, yeah, he's been great.
He is 8th in the National Hockey League in scoring right now. For the playoffs.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's been fantastic. And he was another guy, sort of like Krejci, over the last 2 years, I think was in a lot of different trade rumors because...
Last summer.
He was the highest paid
defenseman. Supposedly he was going to Edmonton.
Yeah, he's the highest paid defenseman on the team. And you could make the case pretty easily that he's the worst defensive defenseman on the team. But he's so good offensively, so good on the power play that he, I think, more than makes up for it. But... Yeah, they're going to have some decisions to make. I would think at the very least you have him next year, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. He's also, what, 6 years older than Carlo, like 7 years older than McAvoy. Still plenty of career left in him. He's not even 30 yet, but that's a guy who, yeah, they might have to make a decision on. But
Torrey Krug is 28.
Yeah.
He is under contract for next year at $5.25 million. He then becomes an unrestricted free agent.
Right.
I think this is a contract Don Sweeney's going to try to address in this offseason.
I wonder how they're going to be able to do it because of the
you've got a lot of stuff you got to worry about.
Because McAvoy, we know, is going to make a lot of money. It was kind of up and down this year on, you know, like his stock. But I think now and then the playoffs that he has had, he is going to make a ton of money. Carlo's not going to make as much because obviously he doesn't have the points, and that's usually what gets paid in the league. But he's going to make a good chunk of change. They're still paying David Backes for a couple of years. Now, they're fortunate that their guys like Marchand and Bergeron and Pastrnak don't make Kane, Taves, Crosby money.
Makes a huge difference.
It's a lot easier
well,
to
and the other thing that helps here is that next year on the books, you've got, for instance, Connor Clifton's on the books for $725,000.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Grizzlick's on the books for $1.4 million. Zdeno Chara's on the books for $2 million. Kevin Miller's on the books for $2.5
million. Right.
I mean, that's what
Moore
helps.
Forever, by the way, which is that's
yeah,
rough.
Moore is under contract through 2022-2023.
Yeah, they go for 4 more
years. He's got 4 more years after this before he becomes an unrestricted free agent.
I don't really get
but
that.
But the key here is having guys at the bottom of the pay scale.
Right.
You know, guys like Connor Clifton, Matt Grizzly, Zdeno Chara next year.
And your fourth line, who's very good, they all make like $1 million. You know, you have all those guys, whether it's Corrali, whether it's Wagner, whether it's Nordstrom. You know, Noel Achari is a free agent if you want to bring him back, but he's not going to cost you a lot. So they do a better job. Like the Peter Chiarelli teams, you'd look at the third line, you're like, look at those contracts.
Right.
Like, holy smokes.
And they're all guaranteed and no trades.
All that stuff in forever. And you're like, well, that's kind of brutal. So they've kind of figured that out. But the real key is their top guys are, I think Krejci is the 41st highest paid player in the league. and he's their highest paid player at $7.25 million. So it's a lot easier to, first of all, withstand the bad David Backus contract, but also still pay your guys that you want to pay. You don't have to be the Chicago Blackhawks, who, great run. I mean, you'll take three cups. Don't get me wrong. You'll take three cups. But then all of a sudden, some of those younger guys, they go up for deals, and you can't re-sign everybody, and then you're a terrible team for a couple of years.
You've got Brad Marchand under contract for six more years.
Yeah.
You've got David Pastrnak under contract for four more years. Patrice Bergeron for three more years. David Krejci for two more years. That's just among the forward group. Don Sweeney's done a real nice job of massaging this roster, this salary cap. And as we said before, he had a mess to clean up in the aftermath of Chiarelli leaving, which is exactly what the new GM in Edmonton is now facing. Oh, my God. How do we fix all this?
Who's Chiarelli's going to go screw their cap up next? Is he going somewhere else? Is he
not sure he's going to get another opportunity?
No, I think you get a couple of chances.
In both cases, you've left the team worse than when you arrived.
And he traded star young players and got really nothing in return.
Like Taylor Hall to New Jersey.
Right.
And
traded the top two picks of that draft at two different times and got really nothing in return. So that's also an impressive resume. But no, they're set up. I mean, but I was thinking about this today, how you had Pittsburgh win back-to-back titles, and so they proved that they could play, you know, into June and then come back and then win it again, because it's obviously there's a wear and tear part of it. Then Washington, meanwhile, they win the whole thing, they celebrate, long season, they come back, they get bounced in the first round. So there's been the last two different champions that we've seen, it's been different kind of results for them the following year. And obviously it's very difficult to win back-to-back. The Bruins are going to be, you know, almost like the Red Sox in a way, where they're going to have almost all of their guys back. I think we're all assuming they're going to win the Cup now. They got two more wins to go, and they're going to have a chance to repeat. And it's just, how do they do? Like, are they going to be as motivated? Is it going to catch up to them, all the games and all the ice time and everything else? Or are they going to be in a position to win back-to-back?
Interesting TV ratings news about the Game 3. Here in Boston, the game today, 20.6. That's down 24% from Blackhawks-Bruins Game 3 in 2013.
Yeah.
Down 12% from Canucks-Bruins in 2011. The 20.6 trails every game of the 2011 and 2013 final series. None of those were below a 21.9. Now, the blowout nature is what hurt them. You know, it's 3-0 after one. They're up 5-1. They've chased the goalie.
Would you say Saturday night's the worst night to have a game? Or no?
Yeah.
I kind of think it is.
And I don't know how much it mattered to people, obviously. No? I haven't seen the numbers. You know, you had Red Sox, Yankees, theoretically, you know, you could go to.
Yeah, you could go to like a rave, though, too. Saturday night, I'm sure Scheim was hammered somewhere.
Isn't Saturday night like the biggest night for hockey, though? Isn't that like,
no?
It's in Canada? Yes, it is.
Well, live attendance, what? Yes, it's they put people in the building for that.
Yeah, but on
I mean,
TV,
obviously, you had a big night because you came home and you had no hair.
Yeah,
well, that was Sunday. My hair after the big win.
Yeah, he just pulled all his hair out because the game was so intense.
Every goal, I just took another section right off.
But they, the NBA never plays on Saturday, and I think that's because they looked at where the ratings are, and that's why they'll take 2-3 days off just to avoid playing on Saturday. So I can't imagine. Now, we're going to watch it. We, of course, are going to watch it. But if you're a casual fan, you're like, oh, there's a Stanley Cup game 8 o'clock Saturday night, I feel like that's not the best time to have a game.
Somebody would only watch it if they're at the bar.
Yeah, right. Like, it's on at the bars, obviously, and, like, you know, if you can go to the game, great, but that's only how many thousand? We're talking about the whole country. Like, how can you?
No, I know, like, but isn't this go against the argument? I get it's different, but, like, the Super Bowl, doesn't everybody want it to move to a Saturday for this
Super
reason?
Super Bowl so is really tough.
It really doesn't matter.
Super Bowl's impossible to compare to anything else.
But my point is, like, it's on
Sunday.
And this
is the Game 3, and the series is tied 1-1,
yeah, if this
so
was
it's
the
like
deciding game, if Thursday is a deciding game, obviously the number in Boston will be huge.
Yes.
Now, the Red Sox-Yankees game in Boston did a 5.6, which is more than I would have expected.
Mm. Sox-Yankees, I guess, right? That's part of it?
That's more than I would have thought. I mean, given the circumstances of how they're playing, and you've got a team, you know, playing for a championship. Not that the number for Boston was bad at 20.6. It was just down from previous finals.
But there was also no, like, there's been so many nail-biting games for the Bruins this postseason. This was not one of them.
This
was, you knew it, you were comfortable.
End of the first period, yeah. You knew it was over.
Yeah, exactly. So you're just like, all right, how many snacks should I have? You know, how many drinks should I have?
How many craft beers?
How many craft beers
do I pull out of the magic fridge?
Right. Still remember everything. Like, these are the questions that you had to ask.
You don't have to remember everything.
Well, I got to talk about the game, don't I? Like, it'd just be a complete mess.
But you wouldn't have drank as much if it was a Sunday night.
Yeah, why not? What, Rossi, what? I'm an adult. I'm an adult.
If it's 9:30 on a
Sunday. I can only have a couple of drinks on Saturday because I don't have to work the next day. Ugh.
Hey, Keith Law, if you was Saturday night compared to Sunday night, if you were which night would you drink more on knowing you had to work or didn't have to work the next
day? I would drink more on the night that there's a game. So tell me what night the game is, and I would have more to drink on that night.
Tonight there's a game.
Sean gets it. Yeah, tonight there's a game. So I will have more to drink tonight than I would tomorrow because there's no game tomorrow.
I work every day, so...
And you don't care. You drink every day,
drink
too.
Whenever I need to.
Yeah. Come on.
I think on a Saturday night with the game, you have more opportunity to drink more.
I've allowed myself to have a couple of beverages on Saturday. I'll enjoy it. I can sleep in on Sunday and still do my chores.
Come on.
Do your banking.
A grown man, Rossi.
Maybe, but...
Don't let the calendar dictate your life. Just go out there and live it each day.
Next, he's going to tell you, stand up to the little woman, put your foot down, and tell her who's boss. That won't go well for you, I'm just saying.
Well, knowing Rossi's wife, I think she would rather have drinks than Jason would.
That's a good point.
That is a guarantee.
That's probably a good point as well. So we've got some interesting guests lined up for you today. Former Boston Bruin forward Dave Poulin is going to join us. He is a hockey analyst in Toronto, covers the games up in Toronto. He was in Boston for games 1 and 2. But it's back in Toronto, and we'll talk to him today.
I wonder if he knows Drake. You think he knows Drake?
He's
from Toronto.
He might be.
There's a good chance he knows Drake. We'll find out.
Was that Ahmad Rashad with the president?
NBA Inside Stuff?
As he was doing the hug with Drake, the president.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was Ahmad Rashad in a reddish kind of sport coat in front of him.
Yeah, could have been. And then Adam Silver was there with those guys, right?
The president was Adam Silver's guest.
Right.
So he was sitting with Silver. Well,
not the current president.
You know, but you're the president forever.
Yeah, but you're not the current president.
Right.
Right. That's right. So Drake, he might know Drake. And then, Dale, who do we have coming up at 1:30?
I don't even know his name.
Doesn't matter. He's the poet laureate of the St. Louis Blues. We've tracked him down. Jason Rossi, this is the best thing he's ever done as producer of Dale and Keith. The guy who has all the wacky poems down at St. Louis. The guy who had the toothless Hoosier line, which we'll ask him about, will join us at 1:30. What's his name?
His name is Doug Vaughn. And I got to give a little credit to Lucy. She helped me on this. Okay. So, I'm just saying.
Just take the credit, would you? Just take the credit. So Doug Vaughn.
Doug Vaughn, the poet laureate of the St. Louis Blues.
He will join us to break down his poems. That's what I'm most fascinated about.
1:30. He's going to be with us.
He claims, Dale, this sounds outrageous. Those are all off the top of the head.
Well,
what I thought.
All off the top of the head.
We will talk to him about that when he joins us.
Wow.
Let's see if he can prove it.
Yeah, seriously.
He is the co-host of the Morning After Pill show.
That's right.
We threw in the pill part. Yep. But I think it has a ring to it.
I don't know if we did.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk Bruins and Blues and Stanley Cup Final Game 3 tonight in St. Louis. My guess is, I was joking with the guys, with Billy and Barry and Brick after the game, because we like to overreact to everything. In the aftermath of the Game 2 loss, they'll be lucky to win this in 6 or 7. In the aftermath of the Game 3 win, it's like, well, this is back to a 5-game series. But there really does seem to be a bit of a gap between these two teams. We'll talk about it with you at 617-779-7937. But first, we've got a trend.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Follow Dale on Twitter at Dale E. Arnold. This is Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Grapes, we were wondering about Bergeron. You certainly saw last game. He didn't take... Actually, Brian, if we have time, we should show... Yeah, he's 5-1 last we checked on draws, yeah. And he's having a good period. Obviously, he's got the 1-0 goal.
MVP, I said he's MVP of the league. He's MVP of the playoffs, as far as I'm concerned right now. He doesn't have to get points. He gets a draw. He is a beauty. He's a guy we did a feature on him. Gets the draws, towards the goal, tip-ins. He's their leader.
All right.
Don Cherry, Saturday night, talking about Patrice Bergeron. Look, I don't think he will... he's not even a finalist for MVP of the league. I don't think he'll be the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. He won't be the MVP of the playoffs if the Bruins win the Stanley Cup. I now think it's a three-person race for the Bruins. The clear-cut favorite would be Tuukka Rask.
I was going to say, you think it's a race still? You're saying who else would be in there? Because Tuukka's run, it would be unanimous right now.
He is the clear-cut favorite.
Yeah, I agree.
Brad Marchand would be second.
Yeah.
Torrey Krug would be third.
I know. And it's funny because throughout each series, we're looking at how good McAvoy and Carlo have been. And those guys have been really, I think, the most consistent for them, because the first line has had the ups and downs that we've kind of documented. The fourth line's obviously been pretty consistent. But McAvoy and Carlo, but then all of a sudden, and really highlighted by Game 3, Torrey Krug's been fantastic. So, yeah, those guys, let's see what happens in these next two wins. But it looks like Tuukka is running away with it. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, so what do you think of Cherry's comments that Bergeron's the MVP? Because he said this, and we talked about it during the year.
I said he's MVP of the league. He's the playoff, as far as I'm concerned, right?
I mean, I don't know what he's looking at in the playoff. Those are two different arguments, right?
I take a backseat to no one in my admiration for Patrice Bergeron. He's not the MVP of the league.
You do take a backseat to Don Cherry,
well,
evidently.
Apparently, I do to one. He's not the MVP of the league. And I love everything Bergeron does. Many of the things that he brings to the table don't show up on score sheets and stat sheets, and I understand all that. Frankly, he spends half of his time covering up for the defensive deficiencies of Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak.
Right. And just a guy like that who is so important and, you know, killing off penalties. Like, how many players, and I'm sure, you know, we can come up with a handful of them, that are that important to the team on the power play and the penalty kill? Really, some of these top guys obviously score so much on the power play. And, you know, like Ovechkin, for example.
Right.
You know, score a million power play goals, you get it. But come shorthanded time, yeah, maybe you sit out. Like, we'll wait.
Yeah, we're good.
You know, as soon as we're even strength, you can come back on the ice and you can be dominant doing that. But Bergeron's so good at both. And also, his overall numbers, like if you're talking regular season, he finished the year with 79 points, which you're like, okay, that's pretty good. But he also missed a bunch of games. So he only played in 65 games. So he's not top 10 in points, but he was top 10 in points per game.
Right.
So some of the other guys, like...
he's gotten better as his career has gone
along. I think part of that is Cassidy, don't you think?
Part of it's Cassidy. Part of it is the two line mates. You've got, you know, two 30-goal scorers. I think Pasternak's going to be a 50-goal scorer eventually.
Could be, yeah.
And you know, they're on the wings. He's a pass-first guy primarily, but he has turned himself into an offensive threat, a 30-goal scorer, when earlier in his career, he did it once early on, but for much of his career, he was a pass-first guy.
Yeah, they've definitely opened that up. All three of those guys, in fact, were top, I believe, 8 points per game in the regular season. Again, not just total points, because, you know, Pastrnak also missed a bunch of games, too. So you have other guys that played 79, 80 games that finished with 100-plus points. But those guys were just so productive, and I thought we were going to see it in Game 2, and we didn't. But then they broke through, obviously, on Saturday, and that was more like the top line that we were used to. But it is true. Like, how many guys can, you know, be more than a point-per-game player and then are also that good defensively, which is hard to gauge. It's hard to, especially for any kind of casual NHL fan, to realize just how good he is, because you can identify the guys that score the goals. You can identify the guys that have a million assists. But then, oh, yeah, by the way, Bergeron goes up against the other top line, and Bergeron is the best in his own end. And, you know, he's one of the best face-off guys
in the National Hockey League.
And that was a bounce back for him, too, because another thing in Game 2, which was weird to see, was he was losing faceoffs. And you're like, well, geez, like this, not only is that line not scoring, but Bergeron's not even winning faceoffs. So that was just a terrible Game 2. We started talking about, is he hurt? Remember that was one of the, was it Elliot Friedman who was saying?
He's not alone. I saw Joe Haggerty talked about it over the weekend.
All those guys are probably banged up.
He did not play the last 7 minutes plus in the game on Saturday night.
And he wasn't at morning skate, right? Was that part of it? Or no, not morning skate. He wasn't there the other day.
He had a maintenance day the day before.
That's what it was.
Friday at practice. He had what Bruce Cassidy described as a maintenance day, said he'll play tomorrow.
Right.
He did. By the way, I applauded them not playing him in the last 7 minutes of the game on Saturday night. They kept the minutes down for a lot of the guys on the top two lines, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of those guys, even Krejci, his minutes were way down. And that's because you could trot out the third line and the fourth line a bunch and feel like these guys will protect the lead. Guess what? They might even add to the lead. So that's one of the many advantages of being such a deep team. But yeah, those guys, as far as in-between games are concerned, that's going to be as well-rested as they can be because he had such a monster lead.
Charlie Coyle continues to be a force.
Yeah.
He is sixth in the playoffs in goals scored.
Yeah.
In fact, the only Bruin ahead of Coyle in playoff goals scored is Patrice Bergeron. Bergeron's got 9, Coyle's got 8. You know, then Pasternak's got 8, Marchand's got 8. But, you know, they're right there. As you say, the third and fourth lines, Cassidy's confident putting him out there against anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Any matchup doesn't matter.
Yeah, in fact, and Bergeron, he's had 7 power play goals out of his 9. So Coyle, I think it's Coyle and Marchand. And Marchand, some of his have been empty netters. So as far as like 5-on-5 and just straight up, I feel like Coyle probably has the most goals, timely goals. He's been so good in the whole playoff run.
Now, I heard this this discussion going on in our office earlier. I tried to stay out of it, but Jason Rossi forced me into it.
Talking about NXT?
No, we didn't go there yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But Rossi was making the case that if you look at the St. Louis Blues in the previous series, when they've had a stinker, they've come back huge in the following game. You know, Jordan Binnington hasn't been pulled from a game this year until Saturday,
mm-hmm.
although he had a couple of games where he wasn't very good in the playoffs, and Rossi's counting on this huge bounce-back factor for the Blues and for Binnington. I think Binnington was psychologically damaged. To quote my friend Pete Shepard, I think he was psychologically damaged on Saturday. By the way, hasn't been good in this whole series.
He's been awful. I would go 5-hole. Something tells me I'd go 5-hole.
It seems to be open now and then.
Holy smokes, what is he doing? Just shoot it right there every single time. And them bouncing back in games, I think it's a little misleading. And that's because they lost 2 games in a row in Winnipeg. They lost games 3 and 4 to Winnipeg. They lost games 4 and 5 to Dallas, so back-to-back games there. Now, they did have bounce-back games against San Jose, obviously. They didn't lose back-to-back. But it's not like this team has always responded after every loss. So, Rossi, I don't know where you're coming up with your stats, but in your face.
Did they win those series?
The Winnipeg series? No, they lost that one.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, which is insane that they're still playing.
Well, the fact they let them play is beyond most of us.
Winnipeg was like, you know what? You guys have it. You guys have great fans. You guys go ahead. No, they won the series, but my point is, they lost the game. And then
after they lost the game.
Correct.
Well, specifically the Sharks series.
Sharks
put up 6 on them the first game. They came back and won the next one. Then the Sharks won game 3. They put up 5 on them, and they came back and won the next game, and then went on to win the series. So
true. They
have this, I don't know if it's a resiliency to them, but yeah, this is the first time Bennington's been pulled, but this does feel, as a Bruins fan,
I think he's going to be a mess.
I'll tell you,
Bennington is goosed, porked, whatever else you want to add to it. Forget Bennington. Bennington probably shouldn't even start this game.
Here's the other problem that they have. And this has been a playoff-wide issue. They're not good at home.
Isn't that weird that they're here?
They are 5-6 at home in the Stanley Cup playoff. Now, they're really good on the road.
I was going to say, that can only be a hockey stat. Like, no basketball team would be in the NBA Finals.
At 5-6 at home.
Losing all their home games. Like, that's insane to see. And because there's always the flip side, right? When they were in Boston, everybody was saying, well, look at what their road record is. Pretty good road team. Well, the other side of that is, home ice means nothing to them. And so the Bruins have been really good on the road. They've been good everywhere. Obviously, they've been going through some of these here, the sweep of the Hurricanes. So they've been good everywhere. But yeah, that's nothing that they can. Binnington fascinates me because he's gone on this great run, but it's such a small sample size with 30-something games in the regular season. And that was it. And then this 20-game playoff run, and he's been good. He hasn't been otherworldly by any means. Tuca has better stats than him everywhere. Some of the other goalies have better stats than him. But this has been a great run for the Blues. He's been a part of it, but he has been real, real beatable in this whole series.
I know the Bruins only have a 2-1 lead, but he has not been great.
No.
In fact, he's been marginal. In the game they won, and Billy Jaffe pointed this out on the pregame show on Saturday night, St. Louis basically played about the perfect hockey game for them in game 2. They played as well as they could play. Everything went their way, to their credit, by the way. I'm not taking anything away.
Yeah.
But his point, and I agree with him, they played for what for Craig Berube was the perfect game. They won by a goal in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
With the perfect game.
And a lot of it was the Bruins, I felt like. The Bruins kind of missed chances on their own. I don't even know how much of it was St. Louis. And Binnington made a couple of nice saves, sure, but there's also at times where the Bruins just bailed him out. He allows three goals in the first game, you know, 91 save percentage, allows two goals, and then they win. And again, there were plenty of chances for the Bruins, especially late in the third period. And then he gives up five goals, gets the hook. And then how many of those goals? So he's given up 10 goals. In all seriousness, have five of them been five hole?
It feels like it.
Like, it's just every single time, just shoot it there. And so I'm really curious to see how he bounces back. You remember he had that, you know, after the Torrey Krug hit on Rob Thomas, he had that kind of, you know, sarcastic line, like, oh, I wonder if he's on something. Like, so, you know, he's kind of maybe a quirky kind of, well, they're all goalies are probably a little quirky, I guess. But this is the first time that, and not that he's played flawless the entire time, but this is the first time where you got to leave, and then you got to sit there and watch the rest of the game. That hasn't happened for him, so how does he bounce back from that?
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mike in Wakefield, you're up first on Sports Radio's Dale and Keefe.
Gentlemen, what's going on?
Hey,
happy Monday.
Yes.
Man, oh, man, that couldn't have been a better birthday present on Saturday for this guy.
Happy birthday.
But, thank you very much.
You're
I'm
welcome.
Now in a new age bracket. I was reminded by my ex. But I also reminded her that she's still 40, so.
Okay.
So
we like people of all ages, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not ageist here on the Dale and Keith program. Mm-hmm. So I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I originally called for seven games. I've backed off to six now. I mean, this isn't a scrub of a team. I mean, you know, they got.
Yeah, they kind of are.
Yeah, Mike, I'll tell you, I do not respect the Blues. I think they're not very good. They're better than the Hurricanes. That's the only nice thing I can say about them is they're better than Carolina.
Okay, yeah, they're better than Carolina. But, you know, take off those rose-colored glasses for a second, man. They're definitely going to come back and punch us in the mouth the next game. I'm looking forward to a six-game series. This is what we signed up for, just like I said before. I think they're going to bounce back. I think it's going to be a good continuance of the series right here.
Did you notice what you said, Mike? Because you said the only thing they can do is punch them in the mouth. That's the only thing they've got.
Yeah, but Dale, how many punches can you take before you eventually fall down? I mean, if they continue beating up on the Bruins, that's going to cut down on the Bruins.
So far, they're doing fine.
Yeah, I mean, if they, as long as they, I was going to say, Mike, if they just keep, you know, getting power plays, you saw what they did in game three. I mean, that's going to be it. Like, they can, oh, look how physical you are. All right, go to the box, and then the Bruins are going to score on you.
In the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Bruins on the road are 14-28 on the power play.
Crazy.
50% on the power play on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah,
they're gonna keep doing it,
St. Louis. Keep doing it.
Oh, they're gonna get plenty of chances. You just hope that the stupid penalties that St. Louis takes don't lead to an injury. Because that's really what
has in one case so
one
far.
One case it has, yeah.
And you hope that's all. 617-779-7937. We'll talk to Dave Poulin at 1 o'clock today. We will talk to the poet laureate for the St. Louis Blues.
Can't wait.
Doug Vaughn, right?
Doug.
That's his name.
Yep, Doug.
Doug's going to join us at 1:30. Maybe he can, you know, just rattle off one for us.
He might just hit the ground running. You introduce him, like, here's Doug. He goes, boom, right into a haiku of some sort.
Yeah, haiku. That's what we're looking for.
Maybe.
And I believe we're going to see a Tom Brady sighting at Gillette Stadium soon. We'll get to all of that in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WE.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah.
Bruins, Blues. WEEI's coverage of the Stanley Cup Final is brought to you by your New England Toyota dealers and Atlantic Power Cleaning. It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I said, did you see the leaked footage? You said,
Dale, don't even say what it is because you're going to bother people. Just say, spoiler, Dale's back.
You
Rossi.
Asked me.
No, I didn't.
You said,
but why else would you have said what happen? You said?
Yes.
But the way you said it, you wouldn't have said it if it was any other thing. You spoiled it.
Spoiler, Dale's back.
No.
Wait, before I answered your direct question,
Dale, the way you asked it though, there could only be one thing. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, so because it really
is it the result of tonight's Bruins game?
Yes.
Yeah. The results are in.
Oh my God!
Is it a movie?
No. We're getting too close to the sun. It is going to bother people. I don't want to do it.
We have to know. No, we don't.
Don't go anywhere.
By the way, go ahead and bitch at me if you want, because it's about to be everywhere.
I'm nervous.
Is it Robert Kraft video? No.
How big is it?
Well, I haven't seen that.
What?
I don't know what else could be spoiled.
No, I don't want to say because then you're going to get mad too. Everybody's going to get mad. So we're not.
But we're getting mad at Dale. We're getting mad at the world.
Oh no, he's mad at me right now.
I'm mad at Dale.
He asked me a specific question.
You didn't.
I answered the question.
So no, he said,
and I became the bad guy.
You are the bad guy. You go. Did you see this? And I said, no, I didn't. And then
did this happen?
Well, I said yes. But that's the only reason why you would even ask me if I saw it is the result. Like, I knew the answer before I even asked, so you can't blame me for it.
But, like, now me and Jason are mad at you guys for not telling us.
I'm actually not mad. I think you'd be more mad if we explained to you what
it
was.
Is it a Marvel movie?
No. But I think you'd be more mad.
Is it my paycheck?
Yes.
We finally leaked out the details. And
we had a good laugh.
You guys are really jealous now.
No, we just feel awful. That's all it is.
Now it's reality. Now the whole haircut thing makes sense to me. So game five is Thursday night at the Garden. The whole fan banner captain thing, there's only really one name left for people.
Bear Force One.
Well, besides that.
Okay.
No, a guy.
Yeah, one guy.
And I'm sorry, but he's not going to be available.
Why not?
He's in town.
What's he doing?
They get their rings Thursday night at Robert Kraft's house.
Ooh, a big to-do at Robert's?
The rings,
yeah.
So Tom Brady is here. It is mandatory minicamp this week for
the Patriots.
And he's always there for mandatory stuff.
So N'Keal Harry has left his house. They are there now together with the team.
Had a room in the south wing.
Yeah. I do think, and we knew this was what was going to happen, right? He's going to be there at all the mandatory stuff. He's still, you know, he did that last year, and that all worked out for him. And again, I know the conversations have been brought up once again about him skipping the OTAs. I just think he kind of put all that to bed last year. And I know there are new receivers, but guess what? There were new receivers last year, and it worked out. And the idea that the first round pick still got to, you know, play catch with him in his backyard, that's all a winner too. So things are right back on track for the Patriots.
I shouldn't say obviously. I guess theoretically, they could do one of these police escort things. He could wave the fan banner at, you know, 7:45, and they could whisk him over to Robert Kraft's house. Actually, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool.
If they pulled that off.
They could bring the whole team. Just get the whole team out there waving the banner.
Dave
and then
Andrews,
they leave.
Slugging beers.
They don't even stay for the taking sticks and just go out of there, and then they'd be good.
So he's here. He's in town, or at least we believe that he's here in town. We believe that, you know, he's going to be part of mandatory minicamp, because he always is.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be here Thursday night because the entire team will be here. It's kind of interesting to see the ones who are coming back. Mike Reese wrote about it this weekend. Players who were on the team. Brian Flores, who's now the coach of the Miami Dolphins, is coming back for this event Thursday night. And by the way, why wouldn't you?
Hey, you're celebrating that team.
Yeah, you're celebrating the fact that you won a Super Bowl with this team.
Well, that was like for when they got their World Series rings. You know, Craig Kimbrell wasn't there, And that one's sort of weird.
Yeah. Because
you're not on a team. You're kind of up in the air.
And it's also a team. It's an event at Fenway.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, no, this is a private party at Robert Kraft's house. It's off season.
Do you think Gronk goes, and do you think everybody tries to get him to change his mind?
Of course he'll go.
Yeah.
He said this weekend when he was with Jason Rossi that he will not change his mind.
He was with Jason Rossi at the great Buzz Off event.
Sure was.
They have the same haircut now. Both looking sharp. Both looking good. Pulling it off.
Thank you.
Yep. How long ago did you, how long did you go between haircuts?
This one wasn't as long as last year. I had a mop on my head, but I went on vacation to Aruba a few weeks ago, so I got a haircut for that. Had to look handsome.
What's your wife think of the Buzz Off?
The Buzz Off?
Like the, no, like my result, look? The result of
she,
the
she
Buzz
just,
Off.
It's always the hairline check she says to me. She says, oh, you still not going bald. Right. But she likes it.
Like the guy in Seinfeld when Elaine was going out with the guy, Kurt, and he's looking at the thing and he's like, George looking at him, he's like, uh-oh. He's like, you got the classic horseshoe pattern there. You got about 2-3 months.
Dipping back.
And then he proposes to Elaine. But yeah, no, I think it looks good. You pull it off.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But it's a great event. And Gronk, you know, I get about 2 minutes maybe with him, like just one-on-one. And I just like nudge him and go, are you coming back next year? And he's like, would you?
You're like, well, I was like,
Jason, absolutely. You should have said, yes, I would.
I was like, I'll take your place.
Yeah.
But he kind of froze me. I was like, that's a nice job there.
I mean,
what do I say?
No, I think anybody trying to talk him in, and we said this at the time when Tom Brady was doing the Instagram things, is reckless. This guy's had a million injuries. You're like, oh, come on, one more. Who cares if he can't walk? Come on, one more.
And watching him this year compared to the last 4 years that I've done this specific event with him, he is much leaner.
Yeah, he looks. The footage I saw this weekend, he looked. Yeah, 15 pounds lighter, I bet.
Absolutely. His shoulder, like, you can, it's just a whole different body structure.
Did you ask
him
about wrestling at all?
I didn't. I froze when he said, would you? I was like,
you panicked.
I did.
Jason?
Listen, reporter Rossi wasn't in there. It was charity event Rossi.
That's nice. That's a good Rossi, though. Hard to
most people's favorite Rossi.
That's the best Rossi, I think.
Well, Brady started his weekend home with the Best Buddies event. That was Friday night, I guess. He'll be at mandatory minicamp this week. He'll get the rings on Thursday, and then I think he's going to disappear on you. Then he's going to be gone again until the start of real training camp, which is sometime in July. 617-779-7937. Dave Poulin will join us at 1 o'clock today, former Bruins forward, now a hockey analyst up in Toronto. We'll talk to him about the Stanley Cup Final, Game 4 tonight in St. Louis. And Doug Vaughn, the poet laureate. By the way, did he rattle off one for today?
We are currently going through the archives.
Dylon's going through it. We got our best man on it.
We made Dylon listen to the whole thing.
He's got to listen to 4 hours of that show.
The worst part is you can't skip ahead. He's got to listen to that in 3 times. But I do want to say one thing. People are tweeting at me. I know what you guys are talking about. We got to talk about it next. We have to.
No, we're not, because I got yelled at.
Yeah, but we can't talk about an ambiguous subject and then not bring it up.
I don't want to. I think...
If it comes out between now and the 11 o'clock.
It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.